to attack against you. All these people, these groups of people are speaking these things against you. And it struck fear into the heart of Jehoshaphat. Now, some people could take that fear and just stop right there and run with it. You decide. You get to decide what you do with that. Well, Jehoshaphat had a decision to make also. Well, what was the decision he made? And it's here in verse 3. It says, Jehoshaphat feared and set himself to seek the Lord and proclaimed a fast throughout all Judea. People came to him, told him about these armies that were coming against him, three different armies coming against him, and it struck some fear into him, but what he had a decision to make at that point. Could he hang on to that fear, knowing that he didn't have what it took to defeat these armies? He could have hung on to that, or just as it says here that Jehoshaphat, he set himself to seek the Lord. Well, you know what? When I'm seeking the Lord, when something's going on in my life, one of the first things that I do is I remind him of what he said. And I remind him with an attitude of praise. Father, you said that no weapon formed against me shall prosper. Father, you said that by your stripes I've been healed. And Father, you said that I'm more than a conqueror. Father, you said that nothing can strike me down. Nothing can keep me down. I praise you because you said these things. And what you said back then still applies today. The Bible is not something that we've taken bits and pieces out of it like what some people try to do and say, well, that's not for today. You know what? This whole book is for me and it's for today. It was written to me. And I'm going to praise him for the promises that he has. And I'm going to praise him because of who he says I am in him. I'm going to praise him because of what he says I have because I'm a child of his. I'm going to praise him because he's chosen me to be an ambassador to represent his interests in this earth. I'm going to praise him. And when I praise him, my steps are ordered by him. When I seek him, my steps will be ordered by him. But it says, and Jehoshaphat feared and set himself to seek the Lord and proclaimed a fast throughout all Judea. So Judea gathered together to ask help from the Lord and from all the cities, and Judah, they came to seek the Lord. The whole church got together. Everybody got together to seek the Lord. Everybody got together to remember who God was. Everybody got together to praise God for who he is. Everybody got together that when the armies were trying to encircle us, everybody got together and praised the Lord. They sought the Lord. And then it says, and then Jehoshaphat, and then Rick stood in the assembly of Judah and Jerusalem. But Jehoshaphat stood in the assembly of Judah and Jerusalem in the house of the Lord before the court in front of everybody. Jehoshaphat, he got up in front of everybody and said, O Lord God of our fathers, are you not God in heaven? He knew he was, proclaiming it. Are you not God in heaven? And do you not rule over all the kingdoms of the nations? And in your hands is there not power and might so that no one is able to withstand you? There's power and there's might in the hand of God so that no one can withstand him. And he's given us power and authority here on this earth so that nobody, that the works of the devil, they can't stand in our presence. So when things come about, we're talking about these armies that were going to surround Israel. Our army might be our neighbor across the fence. Our army might be, name it. A little serenading, a little music to the sermon here. But it says here, and then Jehoshaphat stood in the assembly of Judah in Jerusalem in the house of the Lord before the new court and said, O Lord God of heaven, Father, are you not God in heaven? And do you not rule over all the kingdoms of the nations? And in your hand is there not power and might so that no one is able to withstand you? Are you not our God who drove out the inhabitants of this land? before your people Israel gave it to his descendants and Abraham, your friend forever. He's reminding God of who he is and what he done. And we recognize that he's still the same God who's going to work on their behalf today. We can do the same thing. We've got the Bible. We've got the stories. People call them Bible stories. I call them Bible accounts. Stories are sometimes make-believe, but an account is an actual thing that happened. We have these Bible accounts that he's done for these people in the past, these great and miraculous things. People actually physically saw him. Seas were parted so that people walked across on dry land. Giants were slain by a little boy who had some stones, some smooth stones in his hand. A man was thrown into a lion's den and the lion's mouths were shut. Same God today. We might not get thrown into a lion's den here in Mattoon, Illinois today. Maybe. But we may face something. And he's still the same God who delivers. And what can we do because of that? We can praise. Praise him for who he is. When you're going through something and he's brought you through, or even before you've gone through, start praising him for who he is and what he's done. He brought somebody in the past. Is he a respecter of persons? I hope not. I know he's not. Verse 7 again. Are you not our God who drove out the inhabitants of the land before the people of Israel and gave it to the descendants of Abraham, your friend forever? And they dwell in it and have built you a sanctuary in it for your name, saying. Verse 9. If disaster comes upon us, sword, judgment, pestilence, or famine, we will stand before this temple and in your presence. For your name is in this temple, and we cry out to you in our affliction, and you hear and you save. You hear and you save. When we praise, he hears. When we remind him of his word, he hears. And when we cry out, when these armies try to surround us, he hears. And he does what? And he delivers. I believe that we always need to keep a heart and keep an attitude of praise. I think that praise is kind of forgotten a lot of times. We like to worship. There is a difference. And I'm all for worship too. Of course, if we really want to worship, we're laying face down on the floor here. I haven't seen any face planters yet, but I'm sure there'll be a few face planters here before too long. And now here, verse 10, and now here the people of Ammon, Moab, and Mount Seir, whom you would not let Israel invade. Sound like Israel wanted to invade these lands, and God said, no, don't do that. When they came out of the land of Egypt, but they turned from them and did not destroy them. Here they are, rewarding us by coming to throw us out of your possession, which you have given to us to inherit. Verse 12. O our God, will you not judge them? For we have no power against this great multitude that is coming against us. Nor do we know what to do, but our eyes are upon you. They knew that in themselves, they didn't have the people. They had women and children hanging out with them. In and of themselves, they knew they didn't have the power to withstand these armies that were coming against them. So what did they do? Early on, we read verse 3. It says that Jehoshaphat, he set himself to seek the Lord. They're still seeking the Lord. We've gone from verse 3 and now we're down to verse 12. They're still seeking the Lord. They're still reminding him of who he was. They're still praising him for what he's done. And they realize that it's only through him and only through his hand that they can be delivered. And that's why they said here in verse 12, for we have no power against this great multitude. In and of themselves, they had no power against this great multitude. In and of yourself, you have no power against circumstances that try to come against you. The Bible does say that weapons will be formed against you, but they're not going to prosper. In and of yourself, maybe you can't stop that weapon that's being formed against you. But speaking the Word of God coming out of your mouth, the power, this is power when it comes out of your mouth. It is power speaking to a situation, and God moves. He has to honor His Word. And He honors it, and He takes that situation, and He blows it up. I'm going to praise Him before the situation. I see it coming. I'm going to praise Him in the situation, and I'm going to praise Him on the day that I'm delivered. I'm going to always praise Him because I know, just like they're reminding Him, this is who you are, this is who you are, this is who you are. I know who He is to me. I know He's my deliverer. I know He's the one who sets me free. I know He's the one who gives me liberty. I know He's the one that gives me joy. I know that He's the one who delivers me in every circumstance I find myself in. Sometimes of my own doing. Don't always blame it on the devil, because sometimes we just do dumb stuff. Just so you know. Verse 13. Now all Judah with their little ones, so this is some of the people that were gathered when Jehoshaphat is standing in the middle of the assembly and they're seeking God. He said here that now all of Judah with their little ones, their wives, and their children stood before the Lord. It wasn't just the adults that were seeking God, that were standing before the Lord. We should never... I don't care who you are. I don't do it. We should never treat children as if they're less than in the body of Christ. A lot of people do. A lot of people will look at a kid, and they might even be talking to the kid. And an adult walks up, and they leave that little kid in mid-sentence to go to talk to somebody here. Hey, did you see the ball game last night? You know what? A few Sundays ago, actually first part of February, I'm back there in my office. Billy Miller's back there with me. And Alex comes back and knocks on my door. And they said, hey, they said that you wanted to talk to me. And I'm like, I don't remember saying anything about that. But I said, no, I didn't say that. And then what did he do? He said, oh, okay. He walks right in my office and sits down in one of my chairs in front of my desk. And you know what? We had a conversation. Now, it's right before the service, probably 15 minutes before, 10, 15 minutes before the service was supposed to start. He's sitting in my desk, just one of my chairs there in front of my desk. We're having a conversation. He's telling me about this. He's telling me about that. I didn't tell him, hey, little kid, you have to go because the adults are preparing for service. No, I'm not doing that. Just like it says here, it says the little ones, the children, and the women, and the wives, they were all right there with everybody else, seeking direction from the Lord. That little boy seeks direction from the Lord. I don't know if you've ever talked to Alex, but that little boy seeks direction from the Lord. They were all right there in the assembly seeking direction from the Lord. And you know what? I praise God for a little boy that will come sit in my office. We should always be looking for opportunities to praise God. Praise should be a part of your vocabulary. It should be something you wake up in the morning thinking about. When you think about God, you should praise. Whew. Well, we're going to get into this, another teaching on this soon, because there's so much that I want to say about this. Verse 14 says, then the Spirit of the Lord came upon Jehaziel, the son of Zechariah, the son of Benaniah, the son of Jael, and the son of Mattaniah, a Levite of the sons of Asaph in the midst of the assembly. My Hebrew is pretty good, isn't it? Anyway, moving on. And he said to them, he got a word from the Lord, and he's saying, listen, all of you, Judea, wives and little kids included, and you inhabitants of Jerusalem, and you King Jehoshaphat, thus says the Lord to you, do not be afraid or dismayed because of the great multitude. For the battle is not yours, but God's. They've got these armies that are coming and surrounding them. They're going to attack them. You've got women and children. Doesn't have what it takes to defeat these armies. But a word from the Lord came and said, don't be afraid or dismayed. because of this great multitude. For the battle is not yours, but God's. Have you faced any battles? Are you facing any battles? I got one that I'm facing, I'll be honest. I'm not going to share it right here, right now. I think that's the problem with a lot of preachers. They're not transparent. They're not truthful. Because guess what? They go through junk too. But he's saying if we do have something that we're going through, he's saying don't be afraid. Don't fear. Just like Jehoshaphat, he turned to seek the Lord. But don't be afraid. Don't fear. Don't be dismayed. The battle's not yours. It's God's. I can speak his word, faith, believing in my heart, and he acts upon his word. And this is the confidence I have in him, that if I ask anything according to his will, I know that he hears me. And if I know that he hears me, I know that I have the things that I ask. How much more clear can that be? If I seek him, and he speaks to me, and I act according to his word, he honors that. He acts. And you know what? I'm going to praise him for it. I'm going to praise him. I'm going to praise him. We're talking back here this morning. We need to get free. We need to get free in this. I'm not going to say it. I almost said it. I'm not going to say it. We need to get free in this place. Guess what? You're not glued to your chair. Don't get me wrong. I'm not trying to force anybody to do anything. But if the Lord moves upon you to do something, you better do it. I shared back there this morning. I was at a meeting, and the Lord was telling me, and this is in a big place with a lot of people. The Lord is telling me, take a lap around the church. Because I'm sitting there, it's like, oh man, it's just building, it's bubbling inside of me. I'm excited, you know, I want to praise God. And he said, well, we'll see you do this first. Take a lap around the church. And I said, nope. Not doing it. So I stood there, and it's just inside of me, and I'm like this. And this preacher came up. Daryl Huffman was his name. Came up in front of me. I'm at Rhema, just so you know. Probably 2,500 people there that day. Comes around, walks up the aisles, stops, and stands right in front of me. Lord's telling me, take off. Now, does running really do anything? Get some exercise sometimes. But I think sometimes it's just a matter of being obedient. And this preacher walks up, stands right in front of me, and he looks at me and he says, you might as well. And so what did I do? Took a lap around the church. Set me free that day. I think a few of us need to be set free, right? I said, hey, I watched the service here last week. I saw a couple of people running. I'm looking at one of them right now. Anyway, we're moving on. For the battle is not yours, but it is God's. Tomorrow, now he's going to give them instructions about this battle. Isn't it funny that when we worship and we praise God and we realize that the battle is his, that there's nothing that we can do in and of ourselves, and we're believing and we're trusting God according to his word, he gives us a battle plan. And here's the battle plan. He's saying here, tomorrow, go down against them, these three armies. They will surely come up by the ascent of Ziz, and you will find them at the end of the brook where the before the wilderness of Jeruel. You will not need to fight. What? You will not need to fight in this battle. Position yourselves, stand still, and see the salvation of the Lord who is with you. Quit getting in the way. God is saying, I got this. Do what I tell you to do, but now, and then just stand back and watch me work. Deb says here, it says, oh, Judah and Jerusalem, do not fear or be dismayed. Tomorrow, go out against them, for the Lord is with you. And Jehoshaphat bowed his head and his face to the ground, and all Judah and the inhabitants of Jerusalem bowed before the Lord, worshiping the Lord. Then the Levites of the children of the Kohathites and the children of the Kohathites stood up to praise the Lord. They sought the Lord. Everybody, Jehoshaphat, the women, the children, everybody sought the Lord. They got a word from the Lord telling them, don't be afraid, don't be dismayed. This battle's not yours. I'm going to take care of this. And then they got the battle plan as to what's going to happen. And then it says here, it says, they stood and they praised God. They praised Him because their steps were being ordered. What the first thing they do? They praised and they sought God. And in that moment, He started to order their steps. Do you get what I'm saying here? That if we focus on Him and make Him first place, and we worship and we praise Him, then our steps throughout our day are ordered by Him. And when our steps are ordered by Him and we follow those that path that He lays before us, we can't help but win. And we don't have to fight. You don't have to give your 2 cents worth. Some of us want to give about 33 cents worth, which is usually me. But you don't have to give your 33 cents worth. He says, He's got this. I got your back. Then the Levites, the children of the Kohathites, and the children of the Kohathites stood up to praise the Lord of Israel with voices loud and high. Loud and high. Their voices were lifted to praise Him. We sing about praising here. I'm going to praise Him in the valley. I'm going to praise Him when I feel like it. I'm going to praise Him when I don't. The children of Israel, they were facing a big deal here. They were facing extinction. Kids, wives, everybody dead. They were facing that. They said, our trust is in God. We seek God. And we're going to praise Him loud. That's what we're going to do. Well, Rick, you're just trying to get me to praise loud. You're just trying to get me to be loud. Well, maybe you should be. Anyway, don't get mad at me. I love y'all. Verse 20. So they rose early in the morning and went out into the wilderness of Tekoa. And as they went out, Jehoshaphat stood and said, "Hear me, O Judah, and you inhabitants of Jerusalem. Believe in the Lord your God." He just spoke to us through Jehaziel. He just spoke through Jehaziel. He just gave us a word, and he's saying, so they arose early in the morning, went out into the wilderness of Tekoa, and as they went out, Jehoshaphat stood and said, "Hear me, O Judah and inhabitants of Jerusalem, believe in the Lord your God, and you shall be established." Believe in the Lord your God and your ways will be established. Trust in the Lord your God and your ways will be established. Trust in the Lord your God and the things that you're going through will be knocked down. Believe His prophets and you shall prosper. Verse 21. And when he had consulted with the people, He appointed those who should sing. Oh, this is a good battle plan here. And He appointed those who should sing to the Lord and who should praise the beauty of His holiness. Just start praising Him for who He is. He's telling you right here, Father, I just praise You for the beauty of Your holiness. Father, I praise You because You are so good. Praise Him for who He is. And as they went out before... talking about the singers. And as they went out before the army, they were saying, "Praise the Lord, for His mercy endures forever." Now when they began to sing and to praise, the Lord set ambushes against the people of Ammon and Moab and Mount Seir who had come against Judah, and they were defeated. What do you think his generals were thinking when Jehoshaphat decided to put the singers out in front of the mighty men of valor? What do you think the singers were thinking when they were put on the front lines? No weapons in their hands. The only weapon they... My praise is a weapon. My praise is a weapon. Your praise is a weapon. It has to be. Why else would God say to send the singers out in front and praise? It was a weapon in this battle. And he's saying you're not going to have to fight. That your army, these armies are going to be defeated. Number one, because you sought me. I gave you instruction. You acted upon that instruction. Be defeated. When you seek him, get instruction from him, and praise him, you can't be defeated. Does that want to make somebody shout? Yeah. You can't be defeated. I got to think that when they were out there praising, I was thinking, okay, what would they have been saying? What would they have been singing? And it says right here, for his mercy endures forever. Well, gosh, let's turn over to Psalm 136. And when you don't know what to say, when you don't know how should I praise the Lord? I'm not used to doing this. Just open up Psalm 136. And right here in the very beginning of this psalm, it says, oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he's good. Oh, praise the Lord, for he's what? He's good. That should be enough for us right there. He's good. Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. For his mercy endures forever. Oh, give thanks to God of the God of gods. Why? Because his mercy endures forever. Oh, give thanks to the Lord of lords, for his mercy endures forever. To him alone, who alone does great wonders, his mercy endures forever. To him by wisdom made the heavens, his mercy endures forever. They're talking about who he is here, what he's done. Think about what he's done in your life. Lord, you saved me 6 times, literally in my life. You saved me 6 times from being either killed or dying. I remember the first time that I faced death. Carrie says, you need to slow down a little bit. Because some things still happen. My sister and I, little kids, we're riding our bicycles. I must have been probably about 6 or 7 years old. Riding around the corner, and there's this guy standing out on his porch, and he was asking where this certain individual was. And as he's asking me and my sister where this certain individual was, he's got a revolver pointed at us. About 5 or 6 years old, got a gun in my face. I grew up in a town of 600 people. Not much like that happens in a town of 600 people. But to him who alone does great wonders, for his mercy endures forever. To him who by wisdom made the heavens, for his mercy endures forever. To him who laid out the earth and above the waters, for his mercy endures forever. It's teaching you how to praise right here. When you want to pray, open up this psalm and just start reading the psalm out loud. It says here that the children of Israel praise with a loud voice. Boy, people think you're nuts if they hear you, but who cares? We were at a meeting down in Terre Haute on Thursday, our Rhema Ministerial Association. And we had a back room, and there was probably 10 of us there. And we ate our meal, we're talking, and then all of a sudden, one of the guys starts sharing. And then all of a sudden, we started praying for this person over here. And then all of a sudden, we started praying for this person over here. And then all of a sudden, I had a word for this individual over here. And you know what? It was getting loud. Getting so loud that we're in our room, and there was a door that divided our room from another room. Somebody in the other room got up and shut the door because we were getting too loud in that room. But you know what? When you know that you serve a God whose mercy endures forever, you got to get loud. You're going to get loud. You're going to worship him. You're going to praise him. When you know that you're talking about a God who's delivered you from whatever it may be, sometimes you're going to get loud. You don't always have to, but I'll tell you what, those who have been delivered from something big, they can't help but get loud. Can't help but get loud. To him who struck Egypt in the firstborn, for his mercy endures forever, and brought out Israel from among them, for his mercy endures forever, with a strong hand and with an outstretched arm, for his mercy endures forever. To him who divided the sea into two. That seems like something impossible. The Red Sea, we're hearing about the Red Sea right now with the military stuff that's going on right there. It's things that are still happening in the Red Sea. But who takes the Red Sea and parts the waters. And people are walking by on dry ground. And I'm envisioning as I'm walking by and I'm looking at this wall of water, I got a fish staring back at me. Probably in my case, a clownfish staring back at me. Can you imagine waters being separated like that? And that wasn't the only time he did it. He did it another time. Waters being separated back like that. Sometimes we go through stuff in our life that seems like a Red Sea. We look at that and it seems impossible. How in the world? We got this mess coming behind us. In their situation, it's Pharaoh and his army coming behind them. But we got some other mess trying to attack us from behind. And we got an obstacle in front of us. I'm going to seek the Lord, just like Jehoshaphat. And I'm going to praise him because of what he's done in the past. He still does today. And I'm going to shout and I'm going to lift my voice because why? His mercy endures toward me forever. He sees me through forever. And it says in verse 15, but overthrew Pharaoh and his army in the Red Sea, for his mercy endures forever. To him who led his people through the wilderness, for his mercy endures forever. To him who struck down the great kings, for his mercy endures forever. And slew famous kings, and for his mercy endures forever. Sihon, king of the Amorites, for his mercy endures forever. And Gog, the king of Bashan, for his mercy endures forever. Who defeats sickness because his mercy endures forever. Who defeats poverty for his mercy endures forever. Sometimes these can seem like big things in our lives, and they are. If we don't recognize who's fighting the battle. We're obedient to what he says. There's things in his word that he requires of us, but ultimately it's him who wins the battle. Who remembered us, verse 23, who remembered us in our lowly state. Anybody ever been in a lowly state before? Anybody ever felt depressed before? Anybody ever feel like the world is crashing down you before? Anybody ever feel like you're in a downward spiral and you can't stop it before? His mercy endures forever. He delivers from those situations. Never keep your eye on the situation. Keep your eye on him. The situation, depending on what it is, if you keep your eye on that, you end up 6 feet under. But if you keep your eye on him, you serve him on this earth until he either comes back or your time is through. And rescued us from the enemies, for his mercy endures forever. Who gives food to all flesh, for his mercy endures forever. Oh, give thanks to the God of heaven. Oh, give thanks to the God of heaven. Oh, give thanks to the God of heaven, for his mercy endures forever. Back to 2 Chronicles. You see how easy that was to start praising? Just take Psalm 136. See who he is. And when it talks about the children of Israel, put yourself in that position there. He brought them through. He defeated these people. He helped them in this way here. Well, he defeated the thing that's trying to come against you. And praise him for it. 2 Chronicles chapter 20, verse 22. It says, now when they began to sing, the choir, praise and worship team, they're on the front lines. They're out in front of the people with all the spears and swords and shields and all that type of stuff. Now when they began to sing and to praise, the Lord set ambushes against the people of the Ammon, Moab, and Mount Seir, who had come against Judah, and they were defeated. For the people of Ammon and the Moab stood up against the inhabitants of Mount Seir to utterly kill and destroy them. And when they had made an end of the inhabitants of Mount Seir, they helped to destroy one another. Do you see what's happening here? Israel's back over here with all the kids and with all the worship team and the soldiers that are standing in the back of the line there. They're praising God. And as they're standing there watching, because what did he say back up here? He says to stand and to watch. They're not going to have to fight the battle. They're standing there watching as this battle's taking place. The very people who rose up against them in order to kill them are killing each other, and they slaughtered each other till the very end. Can you imagine going to battle, you're standing there, and all your enemies, they're fighting each other and killing each other. Not one wounded in your group. That's a battle that I want to be in. Well, guess what? We are in that battle. He's still the same God that delivered them, still delivers today. What battle are you facing right now? Give it to Him. Put it in His hands. Do the things that He's told you to do. I do. But then cast it on Him. Let Him be the one that fights the battle. Get out of the way. You don't need to help God as much as we would like to try. I'm kind of a fixer person. If I hear a problem, I want to fix it. And a lot of times, I've heard people say, when your wife is telling you about an issue, she doesn't necessarily want you to fix it. She just wants you to listen. Well, I've kind of not been so good at that. Anyway, moving on. I'll air my dirty laundry another day. Verse 24. So when Judah came to a place overlooking the wilderness, they looked toward the multitude, and there were dead bodies. Dead bodies fall all on the earth. No one had escaped. None of their enemy had escaped. They didn't raise a sword. They didn't raise a spear. They didn't raise a shield. What did they do? They praised. They sought the Lord. They got instruction. And they praised. We have battles that we face today. The Bible says, count it all joy when you encounter various trials. It says, no weapon formed against you will prosper. So there's going to be weapons formed against you, and you're going to have trials. But it also says in James there, if you lack wisdom, ask of God, and He'll give it to you liberally. And it says, upbraideth not. So He doesn't hold against you what you might have done a week ago. So that's kind of the same thing that the children of Israel, Jehoshaphat, did here. When they encountered various trials, this trial that was coming their way, they sought wisdom from the Lord. He's telling us the same thing today in the book of James. When we're encountering various trials, seek wisdom from the Lord, and He'll give it to you. When Jehoshaphat and his people came to take away their spoil, they found among them an abundance of valuables on the dead bodies and precious jewelry, which they stripped off of themselves for themselves, more than they could carry away. And they were 3 days gathering the spoil because there was so much. I heard a sermon on that one time, gathering the spoil. When God delivers you from a situation, He delivers you, but He doesn't just deliver you, He delivers you abundantly. as if it had never happened. Oh. Yeah. All right, I'll do that later. And on the fourth day, they also assembled the valley of Bechorim, for they had blessed the Lord. Therefore, the name of that place was called the Valley of Baraka until this day. So we have to decide. That was the name of my sermon. You decide. When trouble comes our way, now this is exciting. To me, this is exciting. We get to decide. Man, I didn't even touch the sermon that I had written. And it kind of flowed into this. We'll probably get to it another week. But we get to decide. When trouble is trying to overtake us, track us down, just like the Pharaoh was trying to track down the children of Israel as they were escaping out of Egypt, leaving Egypt, we have to decide. Do we turn and seek the Lord, or do we let fear overtake us? And if we decide to turn and seek the Lord, then He's going to give us instruction. He's going to direct our paths. He's going to speak to us what we should do. And then when He does that, once He gives us the instruction, once He gives us the path, then we just sit back and say, "Praise the Lord! For Your mercy endures greatly toward me. I cannot be defeated. I will win. I will come out on top every single time." I can't lose. I can't lose. I can't lose. I cannot lose. I cannot lose because I'm His child. I cannot lose because He's made me way too many promises. I cannot lose in any situation in my life. I cannot be defeated ever. It may look like I'm being defeated. It may look like things are coming against me. It may look like trouble has come my way. I may be affected in some situations by things that have come my way. But you know what? I still cannot lose. I still will be raised up. I can't be defeated. And I'll gather the spoil. The healing He's promised me, the joy He's promised me, the peace He's promised me that passes all. I can't even understand the peace that He has for me. It's mine. Okay. I'm going to land this plane, but we got a couple more things to do. I'm just going to ask that everybody bow their head. Close your eyes. Nobody looking around. Nobody needs to look around. But we've been talking about here today about praising God. We've been talking here today about seeking Him when troubles come our way. I was talking about early on that when we wake up in the morning, if we'll wake up in the morning with an attitude of praise for who He is, what He's done, and we have that attitude as we go through our day. As we wake up with that attitude, He'll start directing our paths because our focus, our minds, our thoughts are on Him. And He'll start laying out the path that we need to follow throughout the course of our day. And when He lays out the path, it's a successful path. It's a victorious path. It's an I can't be defeated path. But just as the children of Israel did here, when they got that instruction, they lifted their voices in praise. They praised Him. Nobody's looking around. It's just me and God looking right now. We talk about living a victorious life. Talk about the blessing of God. We focus on the blessing and sometimes not on the blesser. So if there's anyone in this room today that wants to live a life of victory, the church is big about talking about victory, and victory comes in many different ways. Victory might come in that your car starts when you go out to the parking lot here. And you want to commit yourself to a life of praise. You want to commit yourself to waking up in the morning with your thoughts directed toward God, with an attitude of praise, expecting Him to guide your steps throughout your day. I want you to just raise your hand with me. I want you to just raise your hand with me. To live a life of victory starts with a life of praise. If that's you and you want to commit with me, because this is as much a commitment for me as it is for anybody in this room, it's to start our lives out, our days out with an attitude of praise. Raise your hand with me. I'm committed to it. I'm committed to it, Father. Father, I thank you that you order my steps. I thank you, Father, that praise, that you inhabit the praises of your people. And as we praise you, knowing that you fight the battles, the circumstances that we go through every day, just as these children of Israel did, we can stand back and watch your mighty right hand defeat everything that comes our way. I don't know about y'all, but like I said, what I shared here today, he gave to me 30 minutes before the service. And not that is something to brag about, because in and of myself, but because of him, he's good. He's good to us. Probably continue on in this for a short term about talking about praise. But I just want us to think about that. I mean, I think sometimes we get caught up in, I got to go to work in the morning. I got to go to school in the morning. I've got A, B, and C I got to do in the morning. And when our eyes open and before our feet hit the floor, and I'm guilty of it, not doing it, I'm guilty. Just so you know, I'm guilty. But when I wake up in the morning, my eyes open up. My thoughts should be toward God. Before my feet hit the floor, my thoughts and my praise should be toward God. And when my thoughts and my heart is toward Him, then I know as I go through my day, I'll have answers all day long. I'll have healing all day long. I'll have peace all day long. I'll prosper in everything I do all day long.